telling me I got to beware. Each time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Good afternoon. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. This is Guns and Butter. I'm joined today by Ralph Schoenman, live here in the studio. Welcome, Ralph.
Thank you, Bonnie. Good to be with you.
As you all must know, it's a fundraiser today for KPFA, and Ralph and I are going to mix it up today a little bit on the fundraiser. We have three different very exciting premiums for you. We're going to spend most of the hour on the underlying politics of 9/11. We also have Who Killed Kennedy and Why? And Yaro and I have also put together a pledge item for those of you who can pledge at the $60 level today. Six excerpts from Guns and Butter shows. It's a fun CD, all edited with stereo music mixed in, as Yaro is so good at doing. So I thought we'd get started today. We're going to skip ahead into, we have 2 hours and 40 minutes of the underlying politics of 9/11, and so let's just get started. And the body we will fall, cause love
conquers all. You understand what I'm saying? Now, what about the people who they were accusing of being the putative hijackers? They move around in the United States at will in their own names. They buy tickets in their own names. They are monitored by the intelligence agencies, but no action is taken with reference to them. False flag operation. Of course, as you're undoubtedly aware, the putative hijackers were trained at United States military bases. At the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida, known as the cradle of U.S. Navy aviation, according to Newsweek, on September 15, 2001. At the Air War College in Montgomery, Alabama, confirmed by a high-ranking Pentagon official, Newsweek states. Three of the hijackers training in Pensacola were Saeed Al-Hamdi Ahmed Ahlami, among those who were allegedly commandeering the United States Flight 93. Al-Hamdi helped hijack, they say, United Airlines Flight 75, which hit the South Tower. Mohammed Haha Atta at Brooks Air Force Base, trained as well at the Monterey, California, Defense Language Institute. Saeed Al-Hamdi at the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California. All of them giving as their contact addresses the Pensacola Naval Air Station base. This would lead the vice chairman of the Monterey Defense Language Institute, Colonel Stephen Butler, to issue a public letter in which he wrote that George W. Bush and his government were fully involved in the events of 9/11, prepared them, facilitated them, and he was no longer prepared to continue in his capacity in the Defense Language Institute in Monterey and resigned. He would be then said to have been cashiered, but in fact, he was no longer prepared to continue in that capacity. Everything that we see and learn with respect to the events of 9/11 shows the hand of intelligence and of the United States authorities in the promulgation of that event. It was not long after the events of 9/11 that a rather startling interview appeared, conducted by Arno de Borsgrave, the editor-at-large of the United Press International, former editor of Newsweek, and of the Washington Times. This was an interview with the former head of the ISI, the Inter-Service Intelligence Services of Pakistan, General Gul Hamid. And what's significant about Gul Hamid is that he had been, in fact, the point man in charge of Al-Qaeda for the Central Intelligence Agency, the apparatus of Osama bin Laden, and of the Taliban, and had been, in fact, the figure through which the CIA worked in coordinating the entire Islamic intelligence apparatus that they had prepared in that region. So consequently, when de Borsgrave interviewed Gul Hamid, He anticipated that Gul Amid would provide the official fiction for him to orchestrate. He was in for something of a surprise. It is clear there was a plot by the United States Air Force against the Pentagon. The Twin Towers were first attacked at 8:45 a.m. Four flights were diverted from their assigned airspace, yet Air Force jets didn't scramble, standard procedure, until 10 a.m. An Air Force rebellion, a coup perhaps, radars are jammed, transponders fail, there's no friend or foe identification, it's an inside job. Now, who could this have been? You will see it will be hushed up like the Warren Report after the Kennedy assassination, Gul Hamid continues. Du Bois Grave asks him, well, what about Osama bin Laden? And Gul Hamid says, from a cave inside a mountain, from a peasant's hovel. Look, I'm in intelligence. I'm involved in these operations. This man can't move without being monitored. Every communication is heard by you. Are you really seriously suggesting he can mount so sophisticated an operation? Let's be serious. We know who's involved with this. Mossad and its American associates. The United States, he says, has been preparing this for a considerable time. Bush 43, Gul Hamid says, and he means by that the George W., as opposed to Bush 41, his father, have been involved. Bush 43 is actually vehicle for a long-standing operation. Mossad and its U.S. accomplices. You spend $40 billion a year on 11 intelligence agencies, yet you say you're taken by surprise. Don't believe it. Within 10 minutes of the second Twin Tower being hit, CNN is announcing that Osama bin Laden had done it. I'm in intelligence. This is a piece of disinformation by the real perpetrators to create an instant mindset to put public opinion in a trance, to prevent even intelligent people from thinking for themselves. But Gul Hamid is not alone in arriving at that conclusion, and not alone in being a figure involved in the intelligence operations concerning the figures who were blamed for the event. Andreas von Bülow, the former Minister of Research and Technology in Germany, 25 years an SPD member of the German parliament, a man who was coordinating intelligence for the German state, who in fact had written a book on the subject in the name of the state, gave an interview along similar lines. He says, there are 26 intelligence services in the United States with a budget of $60 billion. And why did the FBI take no position on what is transparently an intelligence operation? If this Atta was the decisive man in the operation, it is peculiar that he takes a plane, a puddle jumper from Portland, Maine, to reach Boston a short time before the connecting flight. Had his flight been a few minutes late, he would not have been on the plane that was hijacked. How can a sophisticated terrorist just do this? By the way, none of the names of these people were on the passenger lists. None of them had gone through check-in procedures. Why did none of the threatened pilots give the agreed-upon code 7700? The black boxes, which are fire and shock-proof, and the voice recordings contain valuable data. But where are they? Like assailants in their preparation, leaving tracks behind them like a herd of stampeding elephants, this is a transparent operation of intelligence itself. Von Bülow continues. He says, yes, he says, we monitored this group in Hamburg, everything they did, every movement they made, American intelligence, German intelligence. The planning of the attack was organizationally that of a state, hijacking four huge airplanes within a few minutes, within 1 hour, to drive them into their targets, with complicated flight maneuvers. This is unthinkable without the year-long support from the secret apparatuses of the state, and I can tell you that from experience. It's an elaborate and detailed interview. It spells out the role of German intelligence with respect to the group in Hamburg, It tells us that they were, in fact, sponsored by German intelligence and American intelligence organizations. It details the role of the intelligence services in facilitating the travel of these people, the funding of these people, the movement of these people to the United States, and their work and their operations in Venice, Florida. The New York Times, on January 8, 2003, German intelligence was tracking the conspirators as early as 1998. In 1998, the German intelligence were monitoring all movements and all meetings of Mohammed Atta and those who were in Hamburg. Indeed, every time they moved and every time they had communications, a specific transcript was relayed to the Central Intelligence Agency that was monitoring them as well. Mohammed Atta is intimately linked to the German government and the German intelligence itself, the Mohammed Atta about whom we know. The investigative reporter, Daniel Hopsicker, would establish that, in fact, a German intelligence agency front, the equivalent of AID, had financed every flight, every movement, every trip of Mohammed Atta, that the organization's two principal directors were David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger, that their offices were principally at the United Nations Plaza in New York, that they were run under a cover of the Carl Duisberg Association, which was long an intelligence front. The Mohammed Atta dossier is a paradigm of the false flag operation that we have seen at work in every aspect of 9/11, of 1993, and of antecedent events. But there's a very particular aspect of the role attributed to Mohammed Atta. His father, a prominent lawyer in Cairo, long well connected to the Egyptian government, gave an interview, which Newsweek published at length, in which he stated that on September 12th, he had a long telephone conversation with his son. The Newsweek article goes into particularity about the discussions that the father, Mohammed Al-Amir Atta, had with his son, and then he said something interesting. He said, "My son was alive then, but he's gone now. The Mossad killed him. He's been taken out. I was at my vacation home on the Mediterranean coast. On September 12th, my son called me. We talked about normal things. He was clearly alive and well," and I'm quoting from Newsweek. "Only later did I learn that he was no longer alive. They killed him. It was done by the Mossad using American pilots." The Newsweek article is unable and doesn't even attempt to refute what the father has said. Mohammed Atta worked for elite U.S.-German government exchange program. The United States State Department and the German Ministry of Economic Cooperation and Development funding Mohammed Atta. Mysterious German couple were the hijackers' sponsors. The Carl Duisberg Group, a long-standing vehicle for intelligence funding, both in Germany and the United States. The hands of intelligence, the role of the putative hijacker, Mohammed Atta. Now, Mohammed Atta has been presented to us as a man who was a mastermind and a coordinator with other so-called terrorists, and a religious fanatic, an Islamic fundamentalist. In fact, the Mohammed Atta, who was appearing at the flight schools in Venice, Florida, of Rudy Deckers and Arnie Krudhoff, which, by the way, were not only long established as being linked to the mob, but to intelligence itself, appears to have been a rather different person. Here is an account of his appearance in Shuckum's, a well-known bar in the area. He and his companions would drink Stolny and fruit juice and drink rum and coke. They were perpetually drunk. They were doing lines of coke. And this again is Newsweek. Atta and his friends became agitated and were shouting curse words in Arabic, including a particularly blasphemous one that translates as fuck God. There was a squabble when the waitress tried to collect the $48 bill, and Muhammad Atta became indignant. I work for American Airlines. I'm a pilot for American Airlines. What makes you think I have a problem paying the bill? He shows up in Tennessee. He asks to pilot a Cessna over sensitive targets. And he asks to carry chemicals on the plane. And he says, I'm a pilot for American Airlines, and I'm involved in an operation, says Muhammad Atta. This is the MO of a false flag operation. They arrive, the others, at Logan Airport, supposedly on the way to hijack the aircraft. They drive into the airport. They get into a pissing contest with another driver who is taking a parking space that they want. So they get out of their car, and in heavily Arabic-inflected English, they proceed to curse this man and to create such a scene that he calls the police. The police now find the vehicle, and lo and behold, inside the vehicle are maps and airline uniforms and indications of where their hotel room is. This is the character of an intelligence operation at work. Zacharias Massawi, the putative 20th hijacker, the man who every FBI field office had a fix on, the Minnesota office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, report after report, Zacharias Massawi and his supposed links to the hijackers. Well, the BBC did a report on July 3rd, 2002. The man charged for 9/11, the only man charged for 9/11, Zacharias Massawi, has asked to testify before Congress. He states that he and the suspected hijackers were under full surveillance for the FBI prior to 9/11, and the U.S. intelligence agencies arranged and wanted these attacks to happen, says the BBC. Latest in a series of handwritten notes written by Massawi to the judge. I have the relevant information, and I have the proof regarding the organizing role and prior knowledge of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And I ask for the opportunity to share this evidence with United States lawmakers who are holding hearings on intelligence failings leading up to the attack. And the BBC report continues that the statement by Massawi stipulates that he is prepared to put this documentation on record. Well, of course, the judge was most interested in this. So the next day, he shut down all further public and journalistic access to this trial and ruled that there would no longer be any communication with or about Zacharias Massawi in relation to the trial in question. This is the model, and this is the paradigm, and this is the nature of this particular operation known as the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon on 9/11, 2001.
You've been listening to Ralph Schoenman. We've just played for you about 20 minutes of a 2-hour and 40-minute presentation that Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen gave late last year, The Underlying Politics of 9/11. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. You're listening to Guns and Butter. I'm joined here in the station, in the on-air station, by Ralph Schoenman. Good to have you here, Ralph.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Today is a fundraiser for KPFA, our community radio station, and for Guns and Butter. We hate to break in like that, but we'll get back to the sound. We're going to play you some more of Underlying Politics, but we wanted to remind you that today is a fundraiser, and We are asking for your support for the station and for Guns and Butter. $25 pledge will make you a member of KPFA. A pledge in any amount is very much appreciated. Of course, the fundraisers are not really about the premiums. They're about supporting KPFA and about supporting our programming. But we do have a variety of gifts for you today at various pledge levels. The underlying politics of 9/11, a 2-CD set, yours for a $100 pledge today. We also have Who Killed Kennedy and Why with Ralph Schoenman. That's also 2 CDs. And those of you who could pledge $100, that would be our gift to you. And we also have a pledge premium for those of you who can pledge at the $60 level, a compilation of 6 excerpts from Guns and Butter shows. And I can go into more detail about that for you later. We would like you to go to the phone and help us out today by calling 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. Well, Ralph, what did you think of your presentation?
Well, Bonnie, I think what we're really attempting to do here is to elucidate the ongoing and permanent character of the capitalist state, of how power operates, of how pretexts and catastrophic events are orchestrated when the ruling class in the United States, that 1% of the population that owns 90% of the national wealth, funds both parties, peoples the candidacies of both parties, when they have an operation that they need to proceed upon, how they go about it, what we call false flag operations. If you look carefully, for example, at the structure of the two parties, they're funded from the same sources. This is not just from individual funds, but from the established corporate funding that is institutionalized. In the Wall Street Journal on February 17th, Kerry gets a lifeline from Wall Street. The vice chairman of UBS Investment Bank has agreed to host Wall Street power brokers and New York area corporate leaders in his Park Avenue apartment in support of John Kerry's presidential bid. Amongst them are Blackstone Group Chairman Pete Peterson, who had been supporting Wesley Clark's presidential campaign, the Yankee Entertainment and Sport Network Chief Leo Hindery, and the article, which is a long article, documents in particular how the central elements of finance capital in Wall Street are backing both candidacies and funding them each. $200 million already in the coffers of Butch and comparable amounts being now mobilized for Kerry. And we should keep in mind, of course, that the main campaign director of Howard Dean's campaign was John Kerry's campaign coordinator in all his previous Massachusetts campaigns, including that of the Senate. It's a tiny little oligarchy, and these are facade figures. They're basically PR types to sustain the institutional rule that brings us the events of 9/11. One quick point about that, they say about someone like Kerry. He supported the first Gulf War, the second Gulf War, the Patriot Act, the tax cuts, and the Homeland Security apparatus, and the so in a debate with Bush, Bush will cite the things that he cited and say, so why don't you support me? Why not indeed? It's the one big property party with two names. In order to mobilize an understanding of this reality and to build that political movement that can transform this, it's free speech radio, the kind of information that we are attempting to present that Gulf and Guns and Butter represent. Please call your pledge to 510-848-5732, 510-848-5732. The premiums we're offering you about the 9/11 event and the dynamics of the Kennedy execution are really about a single reality, who holds power, and the gangster nature of the capitalist state. 510-848-5732 to have the information at your fingertips, to have the analysis that allows us to build that serious movement of opposition and resistance, which is the prerequisite for transforming the society and nothing short of that. Free Speech Radio, Guns and Butter, please call in your pledge, 510-848-KPFA, 5732.
You know, Ralph, I'm going to give out the 800 number so people don't have to pay for the call. That's 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732. Thank you so much to everyone who pledged on Guns and Butter last week. All of your pledges are so support us, the programming we bring you each week. I understand from one of our friends who was in the pledge room taking pledges, people were calling in. They didn't necessarily have $100, but they were pledging $50, $25, $10. It's all the same to us. We want your support. The whole point is to support the programming we bring you and to support your community radio station, KPFA. 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. I wanted to tell you very quickly before we went back to the underlying politics of 9/11 that we do have three premiums for you today. We at the $60 level, we have one CD of excerpts from six Guns and Butter shows. It's a kind of a fun thing. From 9/11 and Future Wars with John Judge, the anthrax attacks and the antics of the putative hijackers. Then the next excerpt is from A Vision of Hell, the unspeakable torment of other species, with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen, the beginning of their blockbuster two-part series on the mistreatment of animals. Then from the squatter movement, Seizing Housing with Frank Morales, the creation of homelessness. From The Decimation of Democracy in America with John Stanton, right-wing think tanks and their influence on government policy. Then from Who Killed Kennedy and Why with Ralph Schoenman, the physical evidence in the Kennedy assassination. And then finally from 9/11 and the New World Order with Michelle Chosadovsky, the use of nuclear warfare in Afghanistan and Iraq. For a $60 pledge today by calling 1-800-439-5732. Also, of course, we have Who Killed Kennedy and Why, two CDs at the $100 pledge level, The Underlying Politics of 9/11 with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen for another $100. For those of you who are still gainfully employed out there, the few of you, and who are flush and who can afford to support the station in a bigger way, you can have all three premiums for a very generous pledge today of $240. Please call 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. Ralph, did you want to say something before we went back to the underlying politics?
Well, I do want to say this, Bonnie, and I again urge people to support this programming and to support Guns and Butter, and by so doing, you're supporting Maya and myself with Taking Aim, which is heard on WBAI, and which is part of the joint work that Bonnie Faulkner and Maya and I do in the Center for Independent Communication. Please support this effort to bring Speak Truth to Power. It's through KPFA and through Guns and Butter that we hear it in this area, 510-848-5732. Yes, what I would like to emphasize here is that what would appear to be disparate events, namely the execution of the head of state in 1963 and the particular false flag operation, which is 9/11. It's not the first and it won't be the last of such operations under both the nominal watch of the Democratic and Republican administrations in office, if not power. As we've often cited, Operation Northwoods in 1962 was a Joint Chiefs of Staff program of the Chairman Lemon Limnitzer, which called for the hijacking of airplanes, crashing them into buildings, assassinating citizens in the streets of Miami and of Washington, D.C., blowing up the astronaut John Glenn, anticipated shooting down of that rocket. All of this to be imputed to the Cuban Revolution as a casus belli, the pretext for invasion. Let me mention that in the past week there has been an orchestration of the bioterrorism that is being prepared for the United States by Cuba. Larry Klayman, with support from key Democrats, is saying that bioterrorism is inevitable, Cuba the main instrument of it. Fidel Castro has now given a speech in which he said the plans to assassinate him are well afoot, and he understands that the principal political figures in the United States are supporting this. The Cuban people will fight. They are armed. These dynamics were as characteristic of what underlay the execution of John Kennedy as they are about the rationale and the necessity for the rulers of events such as 9/11, Republican and Democrat alike. This reality, the politics that inform it, and what it tells us about what has to be done are essential to our understanding. I ask you, I plead with you, support Guns and Butter. Call
in your support to 1-800-439-5732, 510-848-5732.
Thank you, Ralph. And if we can get the phones lit up, we're going to go back to the underlying politics of 9/11, a very dynamic section. We're going to play another 11 minutes for you. Please give us a call. Please support your community radio station and Guns and Butter. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. I'm here with Ralph Schoenman. Please don't delay. Don't put it off any longer. Give us a call. 1-800. Oh, boy, the phones are lighting up. Thank you. 1-800-439-5732. We can actually ask, we can watch you call as we sit here, so that's kind of fun. 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732. Let's go back to the underlying politics of 9/11.
False flag operations characterize almost every major foreign policy demarche of the ruling class and its instruments. Let's take a look for the moment at a particularly apposite example of the false flag operation that has been in the news rather recently. Many of you are aware that the United States government imposed upon Libya acceptance of responsibility for the downing of Pan Am 103, the flight that was brought down in Lockerbie, Scotland. And indeed, the Libyans, who had been subject not only to an armed attack by the United States that killed the adopted daughter of Muammar Gaddafi, but to sanctions which had shut Libya off from all trade and had prevented any airlines from flying out of Tripoli or Benghazi or flying in, had been virtually brought to its knees and accepted to acknowledge formal responsibility while stating that the people who were accused were entirely innocent. There's a particular aspect to the Pan Am 103 debacle. At the time of the attack on Pan Am 103 at Lockerbie, the insurance company for Pan American Airways was faced with multi-billion-dollar lawsuits and hired an organization called Interforce, which is a collection of former Mossad operatives, German intelligence operatives, Central Intelligence Agency operatives, and DIA operatives who are now in business for themselves, having retired. And for COIN, Interforce conducted an investigation into the circumstances and the events of Pan Am 103. And what they determined and what they established and what they documented in that report was of great instruction. Pan Am 103 was a flight that was carrying 8 intelligence operatives who were coming in from the cold, from the drug smuggling operations that they were doing on behalf of the DEA and the DIA and the Central Intelligence Agency in the Middle East. Drugs that were being run from the Middle East into American cities, much as has been done out of the operations that were conducted from MENA, Arkansas, by people linked both to the Clinton and Bush administrations. And what this report established is that the plane was taken out by the Central Intelligence Agency, and it was intended to have been downed over the waters before reaching Scotland, so no evidence would be apparent. The entire report was then picked up by the Toronto Star in a series of articles by John Picton, and it was given to a congressman named James Traficant, the Democrat from Ohio, who is the only congressman, by the way, who not only read out the report in Congress, but called for an investigation, and was immediately then targeted for the charge of having been involved in bribery, swiftly removed from Congress, and currently in jail. But the Toronto Star described in a series of articles that were then picked up and elaborated upon in Barron's, the financial journal, not only with respect to Pan Am 103, but to a similar flight that was crashed in Gondar off Newfoundland, within a similar MO, intelligence agencies coming out of an operation to disclose the flight downed in a classic false flag operation. And Victor Ostrovsky, in his important book, The Other Side of Deception, and Ari Ben-Menashe in his book, The Prophets of War, Victor Ostrovsky, I should mention, a colonel in the Mossad, described a series of paradigmatic false flag operations. Specifically, you will recall the hijacking of the Achille Lauro, a pleasure cruiser with tourists on it, when an American elderly Jewish man, Leon Klinghoffer, in a wheelchair, was brutally thrown overboard. This event attributed to the Palestine Liberation Organization and Abu Abbas and his organization in Damascus. What Ostrovsky documents is that this, in fact, was an operation of Rafi Eitan, a Mossad operation imputed to the Palestinians, every aspect of it controlled by the Mossad. Operation Trojan. Operation Trojan, as Ostrovsky documents, involved the following. The Israeli Mossad installed equipment in a building two doors, three buildings away from Muammar Gaddafi's headquarters. This equipment sent signals to embassies, and in these signals were plans to blow up the Berlin discotheque, La Belle discotheque, and to carry out assassinations on the part nominally of the Libyan authorities. French and Spanish intelligence identified these as Mossad-contrived signals. The German public television station documented that, in fact, the blowing up of the La Belle discotheque was the work of Mossad operatives. Their names specified a full and detailed report in the German publication Frontal. But the blowing up of the Berlin discotheque, La Belle discotheque, was the pretext and the basis for the attacks upon Tripoli, for ILSA, the Iran-Libya Sanctions Act of that congressman from the Mossad, Tom Lantos, that calls for the punitive sanctions not only against the Libyans, but against any company, European or other, that trades with the Libyans. These are the hallmark features of the gangster state. The particularity of the role of Mohammed Atta, of Zacharias Massawi, the role of the Mossad itself as a four-part series in the Fox television news established, as ABC Frontline made clear, Mossad operatives from Odigo, the communications company who gave prior warning to their Israeli employees at the World Trade Center of the events of 9/11, to the White Van and the Urban Moving Company, which were a Mossad operation, photographing the attacks on the World Trade Center in position hours before, in position at the Sears building in Chicago, with similar maps and in preparation for the intended attack on the Sears Tower, the 200 Mossad operatives, 60 of them stationed in Hollywood, Florida, a group of them within houses of the residents of Mohammed Atta, in constant communication with him. Mohammed Atta residing with Charlie Voss, the former Contra pilot and the flyer of C-130s for Iran-Contra, working for Rudy Decker. Everywhere you touch this, and we've only begun to touch the surface of it, the hands of intelligence are all over the events of 9/11. What we have to do in understanding this is to ask the question, who gains and why? What is the function of an event like 9/11? Well, we know. Permanent war. A justification for a war that they tell us will not end in our lifetimes, with 60 countries targeted, with trillions of dollars now allocated to the military maw, with the virtual suspension of nominal constitutional protections in the United States, all of the apparatus of martial law in place, with the attempt to impute to any who challenge the American imperium the role of terrorist. But there is a real and abiding terrorism, and it is that of state terrorism the state terrorism of our ruling class. And the events of 9/11 are but the little continuation of how it has conducted its affairs for the past 150 years. But there's an old saying in this country, the longer you con people, the madder they are when they find it out. When we find that the putative hijackers are staying with an FBI operative in San Diego, according again to the Washington Post. When we learn that the events attributed to hijackers involved in a terrorist operation are carried out by high-ranking FBI agents, as the San Francisco Chronicle established with respect to the blowing up of the American Embassy in Nairobi. A high-level FBI operative conducted and organized that operation. The same man who had, by the way, organized the bodyguards for Osama bin Laden, the San Francisco Chronicle. This is not a series of random events that we're describing, but a controlling and defining pattern of events that addresses us to the authors of the events of 9/11. I hope in the question and answer we can delve further into this, but I want to say to you this, that those who avoid addressing this reality, those who direct their attention to everything but, those who impugn the people who attempt to research, to investigate, to expose, and to describe the dynamics of 9/11 function as gatekeepers for the ruling order. They are an obstacle in the path. They do nothing to illuminate what has to be done. They do everything to protect the perpetrators of this crime. We have to call it by its name. We have to tell it like it is. And we have to mobilize and organize around this reality. Thanks.
The Underlying Politics of 9/11 with Ralph Schoenemann. We have just played you several different pieces of it. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. I'm joined in the studio today with Ralph Schoenemann. Today is a fundraiser. We've just played you The Underlying Politics of 9/11, Dynamite, 2 hours and 40 minutes. Yours for a $100 tax-deductible donation to Community Radio KPFA today. Please go to the phones, 1-800-439-5732. Please call us, 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. Ralph and I want to thank you so much for all of your support. Manuel Rodriguez in San Francisco, Ellis Gold in Novato, Ellie Wilder. Now, I know Ellie Wilder. She's in Sausalito. We don't know each other personally, but she's a big supporter of the show. Thank you very much, Ellie. Peter Kuzmich in Folsom. Thank you. Sheila Miller, Turlock. Thank you, Sheila. Frederick Heidegger, I believe. I probably slaughtered your name there in Napa. Thank you very much. 1-800-439-5732, 510-848-5732. I also want to thank Renee DeMonchi in Forestville, Frank Koval in Kensington. Thank you, Frank. Kai King, Palo Alto. William Heasley, Fresno. William Marks in Oakland. Larry Hansom in Forestville. Frank Snap in Oakland. Thank you, Frank. 1-800-439-5732, 510-848-5732. The Underlying Politics of 9/11 with Ralph Schoenemann, Maya Schoen, 2 hours, 40 minutes. Yours for a very generous contribution today of $100. We also have Who Killed Kennedy and Why for you, also at the $100 level. That two CD set includes the four official versions in the assassination of John Kennedy, the physical evidence, who was Lee Harvey Oswald, who was Jack Ruby, the Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba, 544 Camp Street, New Orleans, the Kennedy brothers' involvement in the war in Vietnam, Laos, the massacres in Indochina, the assassination of Robert Kennedy. I could go on and on. It's 2 hours long. That, yours as well for a $100 contribution. And then those of you who can pledge today and support us at the $60 level, excerpts from six Guns and Butter shows. Those are a nice little standalone excerpts. It's a great introduction to the programming we bring you each week on Guns and Butter. It would make a great gift. As I said before, for those of you who still have money out there and who can actually help the station, who can afford to help the station in a bigger way, you can have all of the above for $240. Please go to your phones, 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732, or 510-848-5732. Many of you are pledging at the $25 level, which will make you a member of KPFA for a year. We are getting pledges in all kinds of amounts. A $10 pledge means just as much to us as someone who can afford more. It's all about supporting community radio, free speech, the kind of programming that I and Maya Schoen and Ralph Schoenman and Yara Mako bring you each week here on Guns and Butter every Wednesday at 2. Please call us 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732.
Yes, please do that, and I want to emphasize that in these discussions about the documents, the documentation pertaining to the hand of U.S. intelligence and of our rulers in the events of 9/11, no less than in the execution of Kennedy, there is a concentrated examination of what it takes to make change in this society, and why the Democratic and Republican parties are but one big property party with two names, the national security apparatus, the military-industrial state, continuous under nominal administrations, Clinton's administration having a multiple increase in military outlays and intelligence outlays as compared with Reagan. And that is the constant and the continuity. The head of the Central Intelligence Agency for William Clinton was James Woolsey, who is the primary author of the World War IV doctrine that the so-called neocons have made the centerpiece of the Bush administration's foreign policy. Unless we grasp this reality and are not seduced by the evil lesser, we are forever demobilized and our disaffection is channeled into useless, captive arenas supporting and sustaining institutional repression at home and imperial oppression and adventurism overseas. And, you know, there's an interesting thing, Bonnie, and it's again why I urge people, please support the kind of understanding that Free Speech Radio permits by calling 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-5732. The interesting question that we have to examine, brothers and sisters, is the relationship between reform and revolution, if you like. Paradoxically, the only time that the rulers make major concessions is when we are outside of their political control, when we have mobilized in the streets, when we are at the point of production, at the time of the great CIO industrial unionizing of the 30s, at the time of the civil rights movement, at the time of the anti-war mobilizations, when there are massive movements for transformation and change. It's only at that time that the rulers feel compelled to make concessions and to adopt a pseudo-reformist rhetoric. The moment, however, that they seduce us back, that they co-opt us once again into their own institutional control, why they take those concessions back. So paradoxically, the way in which to extract concessions and to beat them back is by our own independent mobilizing, our own political struggles outside of the control of capitalist political parties. It's called staying on our own side of the class line. The bosses have two parties of their own, and we need one for ourselves. This is the essential understanding that all of this documentation is designed to service. Guns and Butter, Taking Aim, are at the disposal of people who are looking for a way forward, for mobilizing struggles that sustain, for building that constituency for change, because changing Bush for Kerry, however it seduces us to contemplate that prospect, will not in any significant way prevent the ongoing dynamic of a system in terminal decay which needs adventurism to sustain itself and repression to permit it. We can't build a resistance to it by supporting those we don't want. Please, call this number, 510-848-5732. Obtain the data, the analysis, the documentation that arms us for major struggles ahead.
1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. I'm joined on air by Ralph Schoenman. We are so lucky to have Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen living here in the Bay Area, and they are regulars here on Guns and Butter. We thank you so much for your support. We've had a very successful fundraiser today. Thank you so much. Please keep calling 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. The Underlying Politics of 9/11, 2 hours and 40 minutes of Politics of 9/11 with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. Yours at the $100 level. We also have Who Killed Kennedy and Why with Ralph Schoenman. 2 hours of, let me see, I was telling you what was in Who Killed Kennedy and Why, and I couldn't finish
Excuse
because
me,
there's
Bonnie,
so much in there.
This is Vinny. I just want to remind the callers that the phone lines got busy there for a moment, so if you called and it was busy, please call back again. keep on calling. If the lines are busy, don't give up on us. We don't give up on you.
Thank you very much, Vinny. Let me just say, Bonnie, if I may, that in The Underlying Politics of 9/11, we haven't played those excerpts, because time is a factor, but Maya Schoen gives an extraordinarily documented demonstration of the Northern Command of Operation Garden plot, of the militarization of the police, of the plans for martial law. They're not speculative plans, but the precise military plans for seizing our hospitals, for taking over the food distribution centers in the U.S., all of the Republican and Democratic-supported plans of what they call homeland security, the martial law state that is in place as we speak. That data, that documentation available on The Underlying Politics of 9/11, please, 510-848-5732.
Or 1-800-439-5732. Who Killed Kennedy and Why? Yours for a $100 contribution. The Underlying Politics of 9/11 with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. Yours for a $100 donation. For those of you who can contribute at the $60 level, Yarrow and I put together a special CD for you. Excerpts from 6 Guns and Butter shows. And they're some of the most exciting shows. They're standalone excerpts. All of the music is mixed in stereo, as Yarrow is so adept at doing. Excerpts from Guns and Butter shows at the $60 level. Everything, if you can afford it, we would appreciate it. $240, you can have the whole thing. 1-800-439-5732. And I can't say enough time, those of you who cannot afford those kind of things, your contributions at any level are just as appreciated. 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. Who Killed Kennedy and Why? The Underlying Politics of 9/11 and excerpts from 6 Guns and Butter programs. Maybe I should, we've got some excerpts from John Judge on the anthrax attacks and the antics of the hijackers. We have the Maya and Ralph's two-part blockbuster about the mistreatment of animals. We have Frank Morales on the creation of homelessness. We have John Stanton on the right-wing think tanks and their influence on government policy. We have a 10-minute excerpt from Who Killed Kennedy and Why. And also Michelle Chosadovsky on using nuclear warfare in Afghanistan and Iraq. 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. Oh, we've got some more people here to thank. Have we gotten the mix? Oh, my gosh, we've got a whole stack, Ralph.
Great.
Dennis O'Connell in Sebastopol, thank you. Jerry Champkas, thank you. In Austin, Texas. Well, yes, Jerry, I'm on an email list with him, or was. Thank you, Jerry. David Chase, Mill Valley, thank you, David. Jamalok Vitor, pardon me, in Aptos, California. That was a little hard to read there. James Clusian in Madeira. Thank you, James. Rebecca Walters, I believe, in Rionito, California. That is up by me in Sonoma County. Thank you, Rebecca. Robert Hammy. Thank you, Robert. We know him. Stefan, oh boy, I'm not going to be able to say this, Ralph.
Bialosevich.
Pardon me. See, I should have Ralph reading these. He knows this. In Sebastopol, thank you. Ralph, maybe you can probably read better than I.
Nancy Delaney in Berkeley, Victor Machado in Riverdale, Patrick Harrington in San Francisco, Ursula McComas in Mill Valley, and Jill Flory in Oakland, and Asmat Siddiqui in Los Gabos. We thank you all. We urge people to continue to call their support for programming that arms people for struggle. This is not a spectator sport, brothers and sisters. The system is compelled through a degenerate phase, through its decomposition, to pursue ever-increasing military adventurism abroad. It's about grabbing resources, about seeking cheap labor, about dominating populations that are in process of resistance to imperial design. No amount of delusion about the politicians of the two parties should conceal from us the fact that this dynamic will be sustained until we build that movement that is capable of removing it. And that requires workers at the place of production, mobilizing our constituency, which is the mass of our people. Never forget, brothers and sisters, that only about 12% of the population supports either of the two capitalist parties. Over 50% of the population doesn't register to vote. That's because they are alienated by the same old, same old. Nothing changes. They're all crooks. It's not because people are dumb or indifferent, but they have too much common sense. People are looking for an expression of political change that they can feel is their own. There's a sleeping giant that Free Speech Radio addresses that our mobilizing of information is designed to affect. Support this programming. Support Guns and Butter, please.
1-800-439-5732. Please go to your phones. Don't delay anymore. 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. Oh, Ralph and I are so grateful for all of your support today. It's been a great day on a great fundraiser on Guns and Butter. Please keep calling. We've only got like maybe Benny's telling me 2 minutes left. Well, that's not very long. 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. Ralph and Maya and Yarrow and I are committed to bringing you these programs each week. We're volunteers. We need your support. We need the station to know what kind of programming the listeners support. This is your station. This is listener-sponsored radio. If we're bringing you the kind of programming that you want, it's your station. You call the shots. Please pledge on Guns and Butter. 1-800-439-5732.
I'm put in mind, Bonnie, of the American poet Ezra Pound when he said that the technique of infamy is to invent two lies and get people arguing heatedly over which one of them is true. Guns and Butter punctures that myth. We are going to do programming on Which Way Forward for the American people. We're going to do programming about the nominal electoral process and what it conceals. We're going to do programming on Which Way Forward. Sustain that effort, please. The information is for our brothers and sisters to mobilize in their own defense, in our own defense into society, so that we can address power and make change, substantial change, not nominal change. Please support Guns and Butter and Free Speech Radio, 1-800-439-5732. We'll be with you soon with more of the same, but we need your support for that to be possible.
1-800-439-5732. Who killed Kennedy and why? Yours for a pledge today of $100, The Underlying Politics of 9/11, and also excerpts from 6 Guns and Butter shows. Please pledge at any amount you can afford. If you can afford it, $240 will send you all of the premiums. They make wonderful, wonderful gifts. Please support our programming. 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. We're so lucky to have Ralph Schoenman here in the Bay Area willing to come in and help raise money for our community radio station. 1-800-439-5732. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. I'm here with Ralph Schoenman. We want to thank you so much for the tremendous response we've received today on Guns and Butter. This is wonderful. It shows the station what kind of programming that you, the listener, wants. This is your station. Please support us. 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732.
For the underlying reality of the events like 9/11, for the preparations for suppression and martial law that Maya Shone has documented over the past 3 years. It's Guns and Butter, brothers and sisters. It's Free Speech Radio. It's your programming. It's your station. Please sustain it. Please support it.